Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Lamentations 2, 1 to 12. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. The Lord in his anger has cast a dark shadow over beautiful Jerusalem. The fairest of Israel's cities lies in the dust, thrown down from the heights of heaven. In his day of great anger, the Lord has shown no mercy even to his temple. Without mercy, the Lord has destroyed every home in Israel. In his anger, he has broken down the fortress walls of beautiful Jerusalem. He has brought them to the ground, dishonoring the kingdom and its rulers. All the strength of Israel vanishes beneath his fierce anger. The Lord has withdrawn his protection as the enemy attacks. He consumes the whole land of Israel like a raging fire. He bends his bow against his people as though he were their enemy. His strength is used against them to kill their finest youth. His fury is poured out like fire on beautiful Jerusalem. Yes, the Lord has vanquished Israel like an enemy. He has destroyed her palaces and demolished her fortresses. He has brought unending sorrow and tears upon beautiful Jerusalem. He has broken down his temple as though it were merely a garden shelter. The Lord has blotted out all memory of the holy festivals and Sabbath days. Kings and priests fall together before his fierce anger. The Lord has rejected his own altar. He despises his own sanctuary. He has given Jerusalem's palaces to her enemies. They shout in the Lord's temple as though it were a day of celebration. The Lord was determined to destroy the walls of beautiful Jerusalem. He made careful plans for their destruction, then did what he had planned. Therefore, the ramparts and walls have fallen down before him. Jerusalem's gates have sunk into the ground. He has smashed their locks and bars. Her kings and princes have been exiled to distant lands. Her law has ceased to exist. Her prophets receive no more visions from the Lord. The leaders of beautiful Jerusalem sit on the ground in silence. They are clothed in burlap and throw dust on their heads. The young women of Jerusalem hang their heads in shame. I have cried until the tears no longer come. My heart is broken. My spirit is poured out in agony as I see the desperate plight of my people. Little children and tiny babies are fainting and dying in the streets. They cry out to their mothers, "We need food and drink." Their lives ebb away in the streets like the life of a warrior wounded in battle. They gasp for life as they collapse in their mother's arms. My theme for reflection is red warnings and holy love. Red warnings and holy love. If your phone can send a red weather warning, Lamentations 2 is God's alert system in poetry. Sirens wail over Zion as the prophet admits what we instinctively resist. The storm is not random. How the Lord in his anger has set the daughter of Zion under a cloud. This chapter puts God at the center, not as a capricious tyrant, but as the Holy One whose settled opposition to evil has reached the temple steps. Fleming Routledge puts it well. The wrath of God is not a cranky explosion, but the settled opposition to all that destroys the creatures he loves. That sentence helps us keep the text and our hearts steady. The problem is painfully clear. Persistent sin, smoke ritual, and ignored warnings have hollowed out worship. The city trusted its walls, its leaders, its liturgy. Now even the sanctuary is desolate. Lamentations will not let us outsource blame to Babylon alone. The Lord did not spare his footstool because he will not make peace with the very things that unmake his people. When love is holy, it will not collude with what kills the beloved. And yet in the wreckage, God gives the next move. Lament. Cry out, cry aloud. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Honest grief is not unbelief. It is faith refusing denial. Tears become truth-telling, and truth-telling becomes the doorway to repentance. The poet's vision is severe, but it is not cynical. When the Lord tears down our idols, it is to rebuild us as true worshippers. How is the problem resolved? Not by our cleverness or toughness, but by God's mercy, ultimately seen in Jesus. The temple is fallen, but a greater temple will be raised. The sun will stand beneath the darkest cloud, bearing wrath not as victim of fate, but as the Lamb who loves. At the cross, God's justice is not cancelled, it is fulfilled. At the empty tomb, new creation breaks the siege. Lamentation strains our mouths for Good Friday, so our hearts can recognize Easter when it arrives. What does this mean for us? First, allow lament to do its purifying work. Name the ruins, personal, communal, global, before God. Second, submit to the Lord's assessment. If his anger is the heat of holy love, then confession is how we step out of the fire and into his arms. Third, lean wholly on grace. Human helplessness is not the end of the story. It is the place where prayer begins. Finally, look to Jesus. He is our temple, our mercy seat, and our hope. When we are tempted to minimize sin or despair under shame, the crucified and risen Christ holds together God's justice and our joy. The red warning remains whenever we toy with idols, but so does an invitation. Break up the fallow ground, return to the Lord, and find that the cloud of anger becomes a canopy of mercy. He wounds and he heals. He dismantles pretense and he establishes peace. He's against all that destroys us and forever for us in Christ. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where am I tempted to explain away God's holy opposition to my sin rather than confess? Number two, how might honest lament for my life or for the world become the doorway to deeper, truer worship this week? And now our practical exercise. Pray a two-part breath prayer. Inhale. Holy God, you oppose what destroys. Exhale. Merciful Christ, rebuild me in your love. Repeat slowly for 5 minutes, letting names, places, and sins surface before God. Holy and gracious God, we stand beneath what we have broken and what only you can mend. Receive our tears, expose our idols, and lead us to the cross where justice and mercy meet. In your risen Son, rebuild our worship, restore our love, and shelter us under your steadfast kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.